The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the gospel of the Lord. What was 30 years ago that I first met Anthony and Lorna, and they lived in a public housing studio apartment with cinder block walls and a cement floor. And in their apartment, their toilet didn't flush, their shower didn't work, and they were adopted by a very pregnant, sweet little kitty who had kittens in their kitchen sink. And she knew exactly what she was doing by adopting Anthony and Lorna, because they were people who had hearts of gold. Both of them struggled from a variety of mental health issues. Among Anthony's challenges was that he had PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And as a result, he had trouble sleeping. And it actually probably wasn't sleeping that was so much of an issue for him. It was the nightmares he had once he fell asleep. And he always would dream that something bad or evil was after him. And to make that worse, when he woke up, he couldn't always completely wake up. He would often wake up acting out those bad dreams that he was having. So in such a state of waking up, being defensive and scared, he broke the windows out of their apartment, not once, but twice. And after the second time, the housing authority came in and said that it was a safety risk, and instead of putting glass, they boarded up their windows with plywood. Anthony, however, always slept very well during worship. He did because he didn't have the bad dreams at church that he had when he was at home. At first, he apologized profusely, in part because he snored really loud. Like, I have never, ever heard anybody snore as loud as Anthony, and I'm serious about that. And Lorna would poke him to try to wake him up at first. That just made it worse, because then he'd do the, you know, really loud. It's like, how can a little man make such a big noise? In the end, both he and we accepted the fact that church was a safe place for Anthony to get the much-needed rest that he wasn't getting at home. So it didn't take too long for their Sunday morning routine to get established. Anthony and Lorna would come early on Sunday mornings while we were getting ready for worship. They'd head into the kitchen and get a cup of coffee and then settle in the sanctuary. After a few sips of warm coffee, Anthony would drift off into sleep. He usually slept through most of the service, but woke up in time to celebrate communion. He felt like he was waging a war against the devil, so he wanted to fill himself with the body of Christ. Well, one Sunday, Anthony didn't wake up by the time service was over. So we all left a little more quietly than usual and went into the parish hall to enjoy some refreshments, when not too long we heard shouting coming from the sanctuary. It was Anthony. We ran in there and saw him with one of the candlelighter, kind of the brass sticks, swinging it around violently like it was a weapon, just shouting, and he had kind of a crazed look on his face. He was seeing things that weren't there and responding to stuff that we just didn't even know what was going on. And somebody went right away to call 911, and the rest of us kind of stood there for a moment, not exactly sure what to do because he was swinging that stick around like crazy. But without missing a beat, Lorna pushed her way through everybody. And Lorna was probably about this tall and about this wide. I mean, she was just a tiny little woman. She pushed through everybody and was going, almost running to Anthony, calling out his name, "Anthony, Anthony." And Anthony shouted at her. He said, "Get away from me, leave me alone, or I'll kill you." And we were all terrified because he meant that. You know, he still hadn't woken up enough. So she continued to run, "Anthony, Anthony, it's me, Lorna." And then she took his face gently in her hands and she said, "Anthony, don't be afraid. You are safe. You are not alone. You are in church where you are loved." It wasn't too long before that expression on Anthony's face changed from sheer terror to immense relief. He dropped the candlelighter. Lorna scooped him up in her arms, and they both started weeping. Pretty soon, all of us had gathered around him, and we were all crying. Tears of love, tears of support, tears of sorrow that our brother struggled like this daily. Tears of amazement at the power of Lorna's love for Anthony. I think of them, Lorna and Anthony, every time I hear this story about Jesus casting out that unclean spirit. That man who was shouting at Jesus. Jesus confronts him. And everyone was amazed, wondering, who is this Jesus? And although it's not typical for us today to experience exorcisms in church, it was actually not so uncommon in Jesus' time. The Bible tells us that there were others besides Jesus and his disciples doing these things. I don't think that the people were so impressed that Jesus did this. I also don't think they were so impressed that he spoke with a loud, booming voice that commanded authority just by the way it sounded. I think that they were amazed and impressed because Jesus refused to ignore this man. This man who annoyed them, if not frightened them. Jesus approached him, a man who many would have thought would be unapproachable. He approached him with love and compassion. The love of Christ never casts anyone aside, but rather draws them into God's love. St. Mark has a long history of being compassionate and loving, especially towards students. We generously support students in Tanzania through the Safi School Project. We support local preschool Head Start children with gifts at Christmas time. We support students across the street at Mountain View Elementary School in a wide variety of ways, especially with holiday meals and gifts. Students here at our church, we support with scholarships for music camps and youth gatherings. We support students who are homeless in our school district by offering laundry facilities in our Clean Kids laundry room. These are all wonderful, good, and amazing things that we are called to continue to do. But my question is, what if God is calling us? Like God called Jesus and Lorna to take a step even closer. We know what the number one need is for homeless students in our school district. What is it? Housing. That is the number one need. How do we confront this need with the power and authority of the love and compassion of Christ? We can't ignore it, hoping that it'll go away. Like I'm sure those people in the synagogue were hoping that annoying man would just go away. It's tragic and unacceptable that 1,000 students in our school district are homeless. Of that 1,000, almost 200 of them are unaccompanied youth. That means they don't live with their parents or a legal guardian. Because in most cases, it's not safe or a good thing for these students to live with those people. There might be some misunderstandings and misconceptions among us who these students are. I don't know all of them, but I've had the opportunity to hear the stories of several of them. Their stories humble me and move me to tears because they are amazing people. If you heard their stories, you too would want to find a way to step closer and to help these students. These students are staying in school not only because they want to graduate, but they want, or that they want to go to college or to get a good job, to have a better life. These students are staying in school because they want to help others. They are resilient, optimistic, hopeful, motivated. They want to pay it forward and help students who are in situations like themselves. They are extremely grateful and appreciative for the love and compassion that they receive. And they want to offer that the power of that same love and compassion to others, because they know firsthand that love and compassion make a powerful difference. There's a love and compassion has a way of keeping that human spirit strong in the midst of adversity. What if God is calling us to take a step closer? Is building, you know, tiny homes to provide housing for several female unaccompanied youth what we're supposed to do? I don't know. I honestly don't know. But what I do know is that we have some amazing, generous, faithful, kind, strong, compassionate women in this church. And if these young women were mentored by you, they would be unstoppable. I understand uncertainty because anytime we step out in faith, we don't know what to expect. That's why we step out in faith, because we don't know. We can't anticipate everything. Things can go wrong, and sometimes they do. But we can't let that fear of the unknown stop us from stepping closer and truly embracing any loved child of God. Jesus always approached the ones that others thought were unapproachable. And consistently he did so with love and compassion. That day, long ago, when our church embraced, literally, Anthony and Lorna, Not only did it change them, but it changed us. Because we all knew that gift of being part of a community of faith, community of love and support. That it is both a gift we give and a gift we receive. Being held with love and compassion. God gives us the power to reach out with love and compassion. To proclaim with authority in word and deed, by the things we say and the things that we do, don't be afraid. You are not alone. You are part of the church who loves you. Love and compassion changes lives. Not just the lives of others, but our life as well. Because this love and compassion always draws us into the very heart of God. So today, each and every one of us will leave this church to go out and love and serve the Lord. And as you do, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You are not alone. You are part of a community of faith who loves you. God gives us, as the people of faith, the authority to be the body of Christ here on this earth, to be his heart and his hands, his voice, his arms, to approach those who society thinks are unapproachable with love and compassion. This is the gift we have received from God. And it's the gift we have to offer. Amen.